Hola. Ay, Dios mío, it's Thursday. Time for Jackie's Vida Loca, where every week we divulge our Latino secrets, talk about our crazy Latino culture, gossip about our crazy Latino friends and relatives, and interview the craziest, the funniest Latino comedians on the Latino comedy scene. Welcome to my crazy life. Jackie's Vida Loca.
It's Jackie Dollar La Loca. And let me tell you what not to eat before you do a radio show. I just had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich followed by Mexican hot peppers and salt. So my mouth is on fire and it's glued together. Okay? This is just a crazy, crazy time for me. And I'm kind of going a million miles a minute. And, you know, the most delicious thing is to, like, combine whatever is a bit readily available in my house to eat. So anyway, I am your loquita, you are my locals, and we are about to embark in a gossiping odyssey. But first I want to tell you about my crazy, crazy week, okay? So tonight I'm going to the screening of The Journey of a Female Comic. It's a movie that Kiki Melendez, my good friend, one of the pillars in the Hispanic market for comedy and just for women in comedy in general, and she made this movie and actually cast me in a role which I think is so delicious and so much fun. I get to play the role of this sort of makeover queen that she hires and brings in to give her advice on what to do. And, of course, one of the things I recommend is a lifestyle lift. If you know what that is, it means it pulls your entire chin and face back, only, like, does plastic surgery on half of your face. It's a really good idea, and that's the part I play in the movie, and I'm not sure exactly how long I'm on screen, but it's easily like 5 minutes. So I can't wait to go to that tonight because it's a movie screening that I'm in. I'm so excited. But the other thing is, listen, I've become obsessed with American Idol, and last night Candace Glover was unbelievable. She sang a Cure song from like the 80s, and I didn't even like that song. I don't even like that song, but the way she sang it, oh my God, if that girl does not win American Idol, I would be shocked. I love that show, and I'm kind of hooked on all these like voice reality competitions. I know, I'm a sucker. I'm totally a sucker. And here's another thing I'm a sucker for, like celebrity gossip and gossip in general. Now, I am not a gossip. I don't like talking bad about people, but I have to say, Kim Kardashian's ass has literally taken over Hollywood. Everybody is talking about it. What do I think? Okay, here's what I think. First of all, she did definitely let her ass get very, very heavy during this pregnancy. It happens, fellas. It happens when women get pregnant. We eat for 18, not just for two. But the thing is that I heard that Kanye West forces her to get special clothing made that he designs, like form-fitting clothing that just simply does not look good on her. And she's such a pretty girl and a stylish girl. She may not have any talent, but she is a pretty girl. And I don't know, I think he's turning her into this, like, freak. I just don't like the direction her ass is going in because of Kanye's designs. So that's my opinion. But the reason I bring up Kim Kardashian's ass is because you're all interested. We are obsessed with gossip. Did you know 66% of all human communication is gossip? That means more than half of what we say is some BS about somebody that we shouldn't be saying, perhaps. But we're obsessed with it. Men gossip less than women, but they're still in the mix. They don't stay away. Okay, today, so my celebrity guest today is Patricia Schiff. She has been with the National Enquirer for 18 years as a senior reporter, and she is extremely credible. You know, I think that the Enquirer literally gets a bit of a bad rap sometimes because, honestly, I don't think that they would necessarily publish something that's not true. I think the way they word their headlines, the way they word their articles, the slant they give might be a little bit, you know, a little bit excitable, should I say. And, you know, it's a publication in the business of selling news and information and gossip to the public. And if it wasn't that people were buying the publication, they would be out of business. Did you know that the National Enquirer has existed since 1926? That's 87 years. Absolutely. They are the oldest and most established celebrity gossip publication. And it's more than just celebrity gossip. You'll hear my friend Patricia Schiff talk all about that. So we'll get to that shortly, but I am so excited to have her on our show today because it's all about gossip. Now, you ask yourself, why do people gossip? The number one reason people gossip to each other, this doesn't have anything necessarily to do with celebrities, but the reason we chat about each other is to bond, right? But you need to remember this, people. If somebody is gossiping with you, they're going to be gossiping about you. So you got to be careful what you gossip about. And I said it at the beginning of the show. I don't like to gossip about friends, family. I think that bites you in the ass. I really honestly do. But that doesn't mean to say that sometimes I'm not a little guilty, because we're all guilty. 66% of what we say, what comes out of our mouth, is bull. The other reasons people gossip are to get back at somebody, to feel better about themselves, the excitement of sharing something that's top secret. You know, they can just be plain old jealous. They can do it to perhaps figure out what's going on in the other person's head. You know, throw something out there and see what you get back. And here's the scientific part of gossiping. It actually spikes your feel-good hormone, dopamine. It spikes up dopamine in your brain. So you could actually say that gossiping is healthy for you. And, of course, we know gossip is fun. Unfortunately, sitting here talking to you about Kim Kardashian's ass is actually fun to me. I admit it. And we Latinos, I tell you what, we Latinos love to gossip more than anybody else. Here are the things that, here are the top 15 things that Latinos gossip about. Okay? Starting from the least to the most. Okay. People who don't know how to cook. That's number 15. Another one on the list is unemployment, who lost their job. Another one on the list is gaining weight, when somebody's ass actually gets fat. Like, all the Latinos are killing it with Kim Kardashian because now they recognize their ass and hers. When somebody got pregnancy out of wedlock, or somebody got pregnant because they were too young, they talk about that. But the problem is that in the Hispanic market, everybody's doing that. All right, here's the other thing. Cheating scandals. Sex and relationships. We talk about that all the time. Who's gone to bed with who? You know, in the Hispanic market, we say, pegándole los cuernos, sticking the horns in somebody. That's cheating. When a family member has gone to jail, you gossip about that. Family feuds, because, you know, when it comes to Latinos, we don't leave anybody out. And, of course, the ones we gossip the most about are people in your own family. So, family feuds. Your reputation. Somebody who's loose, somebody who's been a bad parent, somebody who has bad habits. Reputation to a Latino is one of the most important things. And lazy people. We don't like lazy people. You know, we call them vagos. Vagos is the term for lazy, and we are just not into vagos. We gossip about them. We gossip about addictions. People who are addicted to different things. Like, for example, I myself, La Loca, I'm addicted to video games. I admit it. You know, I had to come to terms with myself this week because I downloaded like 5 new apps on my iPhone, and they're all games. It's sick. I think, honestly, for me, these little video games that are so pathetic and ridiculous and you don't even win anything other than having being able to claim that you got to another level, these video games are pathetic. They're for pathetic people, and I happen to be in that group. But we also gossip about other addictions like crazy drunk uncles or shopping addictions, which I, again, I'm very guilty of, okay? Another thing we gossip is about, let's see my list here. Oh, the number one thing actually on the list that we gossip about, because up until recently, this was just not part of the traditional Latino mainstream conversation. So it's always gossip about who's gay. You know what? And in every single Latino family, there's a gay priest, a gay aunt. Everybody's got them, and now we can gossip in the open about them because they probably gossip about themselves. You know, gay people love to gossip, and I'm not just trying to make a generalization, but you just ask your gay friend if they love to gossip, and I bet the answer is yes. And you know what? I keep talking about being Latino because as Latinos, we grow up on novelas, and novelas is the training ground, the breeding ground for gossips. In every single novela episode, there's always a maid that hears something that she shouldn't have. You know, somebody tells her daughter that she's in love with the rich owner's son. Or, you know, the jealous, evil best friend gossips to somebody that she's trying to kill the rich son. Novelas and gossip are synonymous. And we gossip about TV characters in the novelas like they're real, you know, like they're real, like they truly are living that life. We believe it so deeply. The storylines in novelas are all based on lies and gossip. We thrive on the drama of a good chisme. And for those of you who are listening, who are not Latinos, a good chisme is a good bit of gossip. Chisme is gossip. You know what? The whole life in a novela is one big, big chisme. And that's where we learn. That's where it all starts. All right, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and I will be back in just 30 seconds.
Easy Way Broadcasting is your connection for all things entertainment and business. Join Eric Easy Zuli and his celebrity hosts as they talk to the hottest people in the world of entertainment, and they bring you the latest and greatest in the world of business. Eric welcomes his hosts to Blog Talk Radio 7 days a week. You will hear Mo Egger, Shane Sparks, Jackie Dollar, Rick Rosman, Gabriel Cannon, Vanessa Curry, and Jennifer Murphy. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting to find links to all the shows and info on upcoming events. And follow Eric Zuli and his 500,000 Twitter followers at HollywoodIfGuy.com to keep up with everything you want to know.
The National Enquirer was founded in 1926 by a guy named William Griffin. Okay, they do pay sources for tips, which is frowned upon by mainstream press. But you know what? You're going to hear in this interview that I'm going to play for you in just a second from Patricia Schiff that they don't even publish most of the tips and most of the things they get because they can't always prove it. And whatever they publish, they say they can 100% prove. So they've actually gotten into a variety of lawsuits over the years. Like in 1981, they literally paid Carol Burnett $1.3 million in damages because they said that she was drunk in public at a restaurant. Now, I love Carol Burnett, and shame on you, National Enquirer, because she is my delight. I adore her. And even if I did see Carol Burnett stone drunk in a restaurant, I would just give her a break. But also, they got into a lawsuit with Kate Hudson saying that she was anorexic. Now, I don't know if the National Enquirer actually saw Kate Hudson doing the deed, you know, throwing up and being anorexic. But apparently they lost that lawsuit with Kate Hudson. They lost another lawsuit with Celine Dion for claiming that she was pregnant with twins. Now, we all know, and they paid, get this, they paid $20 million in damages for this lawsuit with Celine Dion for claiming she was pregnant with twins. And you know what she had? Twins. Good going, Celine, for getting a $20 million payment. I mean, God, what an income, right? Just sue National Enquirer and you don't have to work. Anyway, so let me introduce you to Patricia Schiff. I'm here with Patricia Schiff. She is a celebrity senior reporter for the last 18 years, as well as an on-air correspondent. She's been seen on E! Entertainment Tonight and CNN with her celebrity news. And she's broken some of the juiciest, the biggest stories in entertainment, which she's going to tell us all about. So, Pat, how you doing?
I'm fine. I was like, after that introduction, I was like, wow, I'm interested in meeting her, too.
I'm like, that's my friend.
Exactly. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. I'm so excited that Tina introduced us. I'm so thrilled to have you on Jackie's Vida Loca. And, you know, I want to know a little bit more about what motivated you, because I know we all love the juice. You know, we all love the gossip and the stories. But what motivated you to actually get in the business of that?
Well, you know what? It's so funny because I can remember back in the day when I was in high school, we won't say how long ago that was, but I used to read the Enquirer. I remember when the issue of Elvis in the Casket came out, when he passed away, I think it was 1977, and I remember all the juicy stuff. I mean, you know, Enquirer's a staple, and it's just not a matter of just getting into this business, but getting into the Enquirer itself, because it is like an American institution. You know, we've broken some major stories here, political, as well as celebrity, as well as human interest stories, and we cover everything. We cover the gamut, and we also do a lot of medical stuff. I mean, I have a situation in my family where an uncle of mine had cancer, and he read about something in the paper, and it helped him.
I think that the National Enquirer sometimes gets a bad rap, and yes, some of the stuff. I mean, I just looked at the cover of the next issue, and I saw a dead Michael Jackson, so we'll get to that. And it's not funny. Why am I laughing? Okay, but the truth is, I do think that sometimes it gets a bit of a bad rap. What percentage of what you read in those kinds of publications just true?
Well, I don't know about other publications. I've only been in the Enquirer. I've never worked in another tabloid or other magazine for that matter. But, you know, we work very hard to get the stories correct. I can tell you my stories are 100% correct, and I'm sure the other reporters will tell you the same thing. But, I mean, you know, there's no reason to sit around and make up stuff. You know what I mean? If one person could do that, there's no reason to have so many reporters and editors and a legal team in-house to help us maneuver through this. There's no reason to do all that work if we're not going to tell the truth. You know, we get a bad rap from people who are probably in the paper who, you know, have done things that are not particularly so nice, you know. People always have their opinion about everything. You know, the nature of this business, human nature, to always have something to say. I mean, you can be on TV, look at, for instance, Omarosa, who's on the Celebrity Apprentice. And, you know, people are giving her a bad rap, but, I mean, she's doing her thing. I mean, she even has people accusing her of killing her fiancé. I mean, it's horrible.
You know, in a way, her personality kind of draws those kinds of criticisms.
Yeah, and I understand
so,
that she's, yeah, she may be the type, but, you know, you don't accuse somebody of killing a fiancé. You know what I mean? It went too far. So, you know, it's going a little far. It's one thing to say I don't like her, turn the channel, it's another thing. So that's the same thing with us. The Enquirer does stories that a lot of other magazines won't do. I mean, you know, when we got the story on John Edwards, you know, he was trying to run for president at the time. Nobody else touched it, you know, because he kept saying he wasn't the father, he wasn't the father, he wasn't the father. And then all of a sudden, one day he admitted that he was, and then everybody jumped on it. But everybody was afraid to do the story. The National Enquirer was not.
I think the National Enquirer is fearless. And when you talk about the truth, like, there are certain things that are reported that you couldn't even make up. The truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's plenty of information in the truth to create interesting stories.
Yeah,
but, you know,
well,
you talk about John Edwards. Now, I want to ask you, because this is a story that you in particular broke, right? So you could take credit
for
this.
Well, not alone. There was a team of us, so I won't take it alone, but I was involved.
So tell me, how did you get to the truth in that story?
The source was really, really good. And although the source was close enough to know the details, you still have to check stuff out, because you know, when people call in, everybody blames the National Enquirer for stuff. There are people that are motivated to call in. We turn down more stories than we do, and that's because people are motivated on revenge or jealousy.
Right.
You really have to do your due diligence. We followed Mr. Edwards. We talked to other people. We found out who the woman was, and, you know, one thing led to another. There's pictures of them together, and, you know, camera doesn't lie. You get pictures of them kissing. You get pictures of the baby, and we also got DNA.
Wow. You guys are like detectives, really.
Well, yeah. You know, we're little detectives with a camera.
Have you ever risked your life for a story? Have you ever had to climb up on a tree? Or have you ever risked your life?
Well, let me just say this. You don't know you're risking your life until your life's in danger. So, I mean, we do approach people who are not particularly happy to see a reporter there. But that's any reporter. New York Times, you know, LA Times. You see that on TV, on Dateline, where people, you know, you approach them and they start pushing the camera away. I mean, it's just a reporter's gig. You have to approach people, and you just have to be careful. You don't go to people's homes knocking late at night because they probably think they're being burglarized. You just have to be smart, and you have to be safe. You know, when people ask you to leave your property, you go. So, no, I wouldn't say I necessarily risked my life, but let me just say that you never know what you're getting into.
Well, that sounds so exciting. I mean, there's got to be a complete adrenaline rush when you're scoping something out and you actually see what you went to see, and maybe even more. And I know we've had this conversation. You've seen even more than you went to see.
And you bet. Oh, my God. You cannot repeat that conversation, young lady.
I'm not even going any further than that. But, you know, the listeners can just take it and run with it, you know.
You got the inside scoop. Let me just say that. You got more scoop than you bargained for that night. But
I'll tell you what. I should take you out to dinner more often.
I would appreciate that, actually. I like to go out to dinner. But, you know, you just get stuff, and it's shocking. And I think the stuff that ends up in the Enquirer is nothing compared to what people call in and tell us. I mean, it's a watered-down version, and sometimes we just can't nail it down. There's a lot of things we have to let go. There's a story last week would have been front page. A major celebrity is very ill, and we can't do it because we can't prove it, but we know
it's
true.
Wow. You must constantly live in a completely different world than everybody else because you know stuff that nobody else knows. It really is fascinating.
Well,
so can you share a secret with us?
There's a couple things, but I will tell you this. It's supposed to be happening fairly soon. There is a person on one of the franchises of The Real Housewives that's going to be arrested by the FBI.
Really?
Yes.
Can you disclose
your
sin?
No, I know. See, you get teased and you can't take it.
No, that's right, because we're all obsessed with this information. We're completely gossip obsessed. And I want to ask you, why our society just has this salacious desire? We can't contain ourselves from wanting to read these things. There's a reason why the National Enquirer has been around for as long as it has. And it's not because no one's buying it.
No, that's certainly not it. The thing is, you know, this goes back, I mean, all I can think of is I remember sitting in church, and all the church ladies would be talking about if somebody came in with their dress too short. It's just human nature to gossip about one another. When you see celebrities on the movie screen or see them on TV, they come into your home, you watch like Scandal every Thursday night. So you think you know these people. So you want to know about them. You know, people really misinterpret. You know, sometimes there's a blurry line. You know, you hear a lot of celebrities say that people run up to them, call them by their character as opposed to their real name because people blur the lines. All My Children was my favorite soap of all time. And when it went off the air, I thought I was going to die. I would even watch All My Children at work.
There is a very big difference between celebrity gossip and then just everyday plain old gossip. You know, people talking about each other, people talking about how much weight somebody's gained, the fact that somebody lost their business. We are a society of gossipers. Do you think there is a difference between the kind of person that just enjoys celebrity gossip or a real gossip?
I think if people want to know the dirt, you know, you go to your job, whatever it may be, everybody's job's important, but everybody needs an escape. You know, that's why we go to the movies. For those 2 hours, you're enthralled in a fantasy. I think that's what gossip does for some people. I think it also helps people to know that celebrities who have all the money in the world still have problems. So you're just like, nice to see Kirstie Alley struggling with her weight. I mean, I'm not saying it's nice to see, but it's just like, she's just like me. She's no better than me. Kirstie Alley used to be a Playboy bunny. If they could happen to her, then I'm not that bad. You kind of relate to them, and it's almost like the cheerleader kind of thing. And then if Kirstie reveals how she lost her weight, I guarantee you people are going to run out and get the same diet plan. It's like Jennifer Hudson. People are buying her weight loss plan left and right. You know, that's why a lot of celebrities are used for endorsements. Like Air Jordans. I mean, the guy has not played basketball in years, and he's worth $650 million.
You're right. I think people feel a lot closer to celebrities because they're in our home and we see them all the time. I don't know if you knew the statistic, but 66% of all human communication is gossip.
True.
That's like
more
than half of what we say to each other.
Well, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because, I mean, even last week somebody called me from a church that I belong to and told me, girl, so-and-so lost her house. I was like, oh, my God, you're crazy. It was just amazing to me that they called up. They weren't happy about it, but it was almost like, guess what? You know, it's like a big secret. And it's so funny that people will call me up and whisper on the phone. They can be alone and whisper. I'm like, why are you whispering? And they're like, oh, girl, I just don't know. It's just so juicy. You can't say it too loud. And so it's
just so funny.
Yeah, it's just human nature. It's just, you know, the way it is.
What do you think is the number one thing that we like to read about in terms of, is it somebody lost their house? Is it somebody's overweight? Is it somebody's cheating on somebody?
Yeah, there's several. The first one, the biggest seller for the Enquirer is a wedding. And if you can get the bride in the gown, put it on the cover, that sucker's going to fly off the shelf because women love the wedding dresses. They love to get ideas. It's their fantasy of it. You know, that's why everybody's so enthralled with Prince William and Kate. You know, she's pregnant now. It's going to be, I'm telling you, when she has that baby, they're going to go crazy. Look at how 750 million people that got up early, including me, at 3 in the morning to watch the wedding live. Now, you know, it was going to repeat all day, but I had to watch it.
Oh, yeah. I was one of those people. I was crying my eyes out upstairs in my loft with tissues.
Absolutely. I had to watch it as it happened. I didn't want to see a repeat. I didn't want to see it 8 hours later. I wanted to see it. No, I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, they're walking into church right now because I can see them. And their dress is gorgeous. The designer of the dress is flying off the shelves because they make replicas.
I'm shocked by that fact because the truth is, watching somebody get married or seeing pictures of somebody's wedding, that's a very positive, nice kind of celebrity gossip.
Yeah, but I
would have personally thought
it's a fantasy.
It's a fairy tale, but I would have thought the number one seller for the Enquirer was when somebody did something treacherous like murder or embezzlement.
No, weddings are first. Now, all that stuff that you just mentioned is on the list, on the short list. But the wedding is the first, and then the second is the cheating scandal and divorce. Look at Princess Diana was everywhere when they got divorced. Doesn't happen in the monarchy, so that's number two. Another thing is a big star that succumbs and dies in an unnatural death, like Whitney Houston, you know, and Elvis Presley. I mean, these are international mega stars. These guys cannot be touched. Their legacy will live on forever. And when she passed away, it was shocking. I was actually in Dallas working on a Kardashian story and had to fly home. They're like, get on a plane right now. And then, of course, a big story like the O.J. Simpson murder. I mean, everybody was over there on Rockingham in Brentwood. Phyllis Diller was pissed off because she lived on the same street as O.J. And she was pissed off because we were all hanging around. You know, she's like, you know, make him move. Get him out of here.
Those are great stories, by the way.
Yeah,
I just love the inside track, you know, like the everyday world of the Inquirer senior writer to have Phyllis Diller come out. She was probably in curlers in a muumuu making everybody move off the street. I can just picture that.
No. Oh, well, she threw on her wig and she came out there pissed off. She was not happy. And, you know, nobody's going to say anything to her because, you know, she's Phyllis Diller. He's like, yes, ma'am, you know, we're sorry, da-da-da. But, you know, we didn't go anywhere either because, I mean, come on.
Right. So you report on something that's as salacious as John Edwards cheating on his wife while
she had cancer.
Right. She has cancer. And he's having this love child. Okay, so we all have our own personal opinion, right? I personally think he's a complete louse for doing that. But somebody might think, well, everybody makes a mistake. So how much of that opinion do you really believe goes into the stories you guys write? Do you think you give people a break sometimes?
Well, the perfect example, I also broke the Jesse Jackson story in 2001. Same exact story, except for Jesse's wife was not ill. Perfect example. Jesse, we approached him. He never once denied that child. He said, yes, that's my daughter. You put that in there. He didn't deny it. He loves his baby. He's going to take care of her. He made a mistake. He cheated on his wife, but they're trying to work out their marriage. Move to John Edwards. John Edwards denied that child on camera.
Mm-hmm.
That baby's going to grow up one day and probably look at her history. Those interviews never go away. That child is going to grow up one day and see that her father denied her. Therein lies the difference. Now, we had to go after him harder. How dare you deny your kid when you know it's your child? So I give kudos to Jesse, although they made the same mistake, although I think Edwards was a little worse because he knew his wife had breast cancer. Edwards was more ratchet. That's the new word going around, ratchet, because, you know, his wife was sick, she was dying, and he denied his baby. So that's what determines just how hard you go.
Well, let's talk about that, because I'm looking at the cover of the current National Enquirer, and I'm seeing a picture which completely provoked me, an autopsy picture of Michael Jackson. Okay, so my first inclination was, oh my God, they went too far. But you know what the next thing I did was? I got on Google and I looked up Michael Jackson autopsy photos. Why did I do that?
Because it's everywhere. That picture was shown in live court during the Conrad Murray trial. So that's not an exclusive photo. That was everywhere. That was all over the news that same day. That was a picture that was shown in open court. So
but it is a completely different thing to see it in an open supermarket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, right? You know, the thing is, it's not the first time it's been published in a magazine either, though. I mean, it was all over. Like I said, it was all over not just TV, but it was all over the magazines as well. I mean, it went viral.
I'm not criticizing because I'm one of the people who actually looked at that and thought, oh, my God, and what else is there? But it's like some people might think that is going too far, to take that kind of a picture that may have been shown in a courtroom and put it on a magazine. And by the way, you guys are, you're right, you're not the only ones who did it. But do you think sometimes the envelope gets pushed a little too much? Do you think sometimes the Inquirer regrets putting something like that on there or something, you know, along the vein of maybe going too far?
Well, let me just say this. If we put a picture on there and it didn't sell, we would think it went too far. But when you do something like that and it sells through the roof, no, we haven't gone too far. Everything is generated by sales. If, you know, there's shows that get canceled all the time because there's no advertising because nobody's watching it. A movie gets pulled out of a movie theater because nobody's going to see it. It's supply and demand. Just like we did the picture of Whitney Houston, her last picture, that's a collector's item. Some people said we went too far, but millions more said it was a collector's item. It's a balancing act. And I understand what you're saying. You know, as you know, internationally, Michael Jackson was one of the biggest stars ever. And there are some people who just gravitate and want everything Michael.
Look, I have a lot of respect for Michael Jackson's achievements.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was a very troubled person, I saw that picture, and for me, it even clarified questions I had about him.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, you know, maybe it went far, maybe it does, you know, get a little close to the knuckle. But at the same time, I think you're right. I think people do have such an incredible interest in these celebrities that they want to mm-hmm. see as much as they can see. And since you guys have access to that, you provide something that people really, truly want. So you're doing something now that is kind of unheard of. You've been at the same place for 18 years, right? If you were to have your own magazine, if it was the Patricia Schiff magazine, what magazine would you want to have?
Well, that's a hard question. You're catching me off guard with that. I would say it would have to be along the lines of the Inquirer, because you know what? Let me just say this. This is going to sound so horrible, but that's just human nature. When you're riding down the freeway and there's some guy changing his flat tire, no big deal. People keep going. But if there's a horrible wreck, people almost come to a complete stop.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just human nature. We just love train wrecks. We love the tragedy. We're not celebrating it, but it's just like, oh my God. And you slow down just to see how awful the wreck is, if there's anybody inside. There are people that will stop and help somebody. Nobody's going to stop and help that person for the most part. There are somebody that will. But for the most part, nobody's going to help and stop and change a tire, but they will help if somebody's caught in the car. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
it's a different button that goes on in human nature, and we just stop to see the wreckage. So I think it's not so much I want a train wreck for a newspaper or a magazine. I don't want to have just all bridal gown, because there's something for everybody. That's what you need to have. You have to have a balance. You also have to keep in mind, like, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So maybe we'd have a human interest story about a woman who had breast cancer and survived, and, you know, maybe had three times or something amazing, you know, or turning around and helping other people. That's a human interest story that we do too. So it's not all, you know, people in caskets and autopsy photos. But it's also bridal gowns, and it's also encouraging people to help one another. It's also encouraging people to go get checked. The whole point of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And then there's also other things, medical things that nobody knows about. This new breakthrough in medicine. It's an all-way, well-balanced newspaper. I probably would add a little bit more humor.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer to do book reviews. I'd also like to have somebody who did, you know, movie reviews. I think there's just more that could be involved, but, you know, there's only 60 pages in the Inquirer. So, you know, I give suggestions and stuff, but it takes time to do stuff. There are things I've asked them to do, and they've done it. I would prefer to have more people involved as far as to giving an update. I'd just like to collaborate with more women's magazines into the Inquirer, because for the most part, women are the ones that are reading these magazines.
In the last 18 years, you've seen so many stories. You know, some are very provocative. Which is the one story that really sticks with you?
In 18 years, as you can imagine, there's a lot. But, you know, the one time I think I was just, I didn't know what to do, was when I met Elizabeth Edwards. I met her a month before she died.
Wow.
She was at a book signing, and she was telling me about her treatment. And she said, I feel pretty good today because I had my treatment yesterday. And I was, you know, I was hoping I could get here because I was, you know, throwing up so much I couldn't keep anything down. She was so sweet. She signed my book.
Yeah.
She signed it to my mother. My mother's name and her mother's name are the same. So she said, oh my God, and she started talking about her mother. And within a month she was gone. It stuck with you. It's just like this woman was so vibrant and here. She didn't say anything about her husband. She didn't allow anybody to ask her anything about her husband. And then, you know, I went to the funeral, and it was just hard to watch. And
yeah,
so
that
you
is
know,
a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and if she had caught it sooner, maybe she'd still be with us. But, you know, it was just sad for her to have to die knowing that her husband had cheated on her. Not only cheated on her, but had a child with another person. So he had already he already started his life over before she even was gone.
Wow.
So that kind of, yeah, that gets to you. That kind of stuff gets to you because, you know, that can happen to anybody. And I just thought he was really a piece of crap for doing that.
You hear about stories like that, and it's almost good that the Inquirer actually
absolutely.
Puts him on
the skewer. He was getting ready to run for president. What if he had been Obama's, you know, running mate? Or what if he had beat Obama in the primaries? You know what I mean? And this came out. So, man, we got to get this done right now and just knock his butt out of the way.
Well, and I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that you did. There's a little game I play with all of my celebrity guests, and it's called Rapid Fire. And basically,
well, wait a minute. I'm not a celebrity guest, though.
On Jackie's Vida Loca, you're a celebrity, okay?
All right, go ahead. I'll see if I can hang. Okay.
The way this works is I'll throw a quick question out for you. You can't think about it too much. You say the first thing that's on your brain.
Oh,
and
my
you, of course,
gosh.
You don't know anything I'm going to throw at you.
Okay.
Who is your favorite all-time celebrity?
Oh, my gosh, you're crazy. Denzel Washington.
Favorite charity or cause?
Breast cancer research.
Most amazing place you've ever been to?
Hawaii.
What makes you cry?
My mother.
Who makes you laugh the most?
Oh, I love celebrities. I like Steve Harvey, Kevin Hart, the old Eddie Murphy. I haven't seen him lately. But I just love comedy. I love comedians. Anybody can make me laugh, I think that's good for you.
What do you love the most about pop culture?
It changes every day.
If you could change places with anybody, who would that be?
God, you're killing me here. Michelle Obama. Oh, my God.
Are you superstitious?
No.
Thanks so much for playing along. And thank you so much for being on the show today. I am so thrilled because your perspective is such a cool sort of insider point of view from somebody who's so seasoned and has been around the block in this gossip world, and I just so appreciate everything. So thank you so much for being on Jackie's Vida Loca.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
New sensation, new kick in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She'll make you live a crazy life, but she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Upside, inside out, she's living the vida loca.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I got to tell you, I adore her. She is so warm. She is a journalist with a heart. I do believe that she brings integrity to her job every day, and we are very grateful to get that perspective because, you know, we are consumers of gossip, but you never really get a sense of where that gossip comes from, who's writing that, who's coming up with these stories, and what she talked about with John Edwards and that scandal, you know, really kind of brings it home and shows you that there really is a purpose for publications like the National Enquirer, who can be a bit ruthless in bringing these details out, these details out into the public eye. But you know what? The guy deserved it 100%. But there are some headlines from the National Enquirer I just want to read to you because these are great, okay? So currently on the National Enquirer cover is Michael Jackson, It Was Murder, interview with trainer Lou Ferrigno. He was fit and ready to perform. Okay, Lou, okay, give me a damn break. Are you kidding me? If you were to make a list of 100 people that were actually fit on the face of this planet, he would literally be the last person on the list. Lou Ferrigno, where the heck is your head? The guy was definitely not fit and ready to perform. Whether he would have died or not, he was certainly not fit. Please. Here's another one. Michael Douglas, gay shocker. Twisted secret he's been hiding for Catherine. Apparently, they're also reporting that they've split up. So what if he's gay? Why is that a shock to people? It's not a shock to me. You know what? There's so many people you never know. And, of course, he definitely does not give off the gaydar. But so what if he's gay? Live and let live. If you're splitting up anyway, he's 1,000 years old. He's sick. If he wants to be gay now, let him be gay, and he should come out of the closet. Okay? Here's another one. OJ attacked in vicious prison riot. Now, that's a headline I actually really believe, because if OJ expects to not get attacked in a vicious prison riot after everything that he did, he's out of his mind. Okay, here's another one. Whitney's daughter, pregnant and suicidal. You know, I do believe that girl has many, many issues. And the funny thing is there's no other publication that's really talking about this girl right now. But apparently she has many, many issues. And I think that we're going to see her spiral downward. And it's very sad, you know. Here's another one. Michelle Obama's jealous blow-up. Now, that one, I bet there's a jealous blow-up in that White House every damn day of the week except for Wednesday, because maybe she takes hump day. Maybe not on hump day. Anyway, I think Michelle Obama has got a Latina streak in her. And I think any little sign that Obama is making eyes or passes like that lady from California that he just commented about her looks, I think Michelle Obama is probably bouncing off the walls. And since she's a public figure now, she can't do these jealous blow-ups in public. So she's got to do them in that wherever she does them in the White House. I bet the walls shake. And let me tell you something. I don't really care that Barack Obama actually said that, you know, that woman was beautiful, because she was beautiful. And why can't men give women a compliment? Why can't anybody give anybody a compliment? Is it terrible for me to walk up to a man and say, boy, I really love your tie. You look great today. See, if I did that, no big deal. But the minute a man compliments a woman on her looks, oh, my God, all these frumpy women come out of the woodwork saying, it's not equal rights, you don't need to look at me for my brain. Bull. You should be grateful and lucky when people compliment your looks. You know what? You should feel happy that somebody's telling you you look nice. And coming from the damn president of the United States, you should take that compliment and run. And everybody shut up. Here's another one. Tom Cruise falling apart, dragged into gay sex. Okay, forget it. Okay, this gossipy rumor has been in the media for decades now that Tom Cruise is gay. You know what? Maybe he is. Maybe he is, because honestly, so many people have covered this tidbit that I'm sure that where there's smoke, there's gay fire. But you know what? Leave it alone. Leave it alone. People who are in the public eye who do not feel like coming out for whatever their reason is should be left alone. They will come out in due time. We will be sitting here when Tom Cruise is 98 years old, and he will come out of the closet and say he's gay. All in due time, people. All in due time. All right, here's the last one. Cher sex cult scandal. That, I believe. I believe that Cher is the kind of person that could be part of a sex cult. And who the hell are we to judge? If she wants to be part of a sex cult, why do we care? It could be worse. She's been through so much with Chad and Sonny and men and her career and plastic surgery. There's a whole other Cher in some Beverly Hills plastic surgery office right now in a jar. I'm telling you, the woman deserves to be in a sex cult if she so chooses. All right, we'll be back in 30 minutes, and we're going to talk about sex tapes. You know what a sex tape can, you know what a sex tape can do for your career if you're in Hollywood? All right, stick with me, and I'll tell you.
Do you want a stronger internet presence and social media following for you or your business? Eric Ezizuli and his company, Easy Way Entertainment, can help you get discovered. Go to www.easywaybroadcasting.com for prices and packages that can help you take control of your internet presence and gain marketing exposure.
There's nothing like a good old sex tape to spark a celebrity's career. And believe me, you think I'm crazy? Some of these people actually plan for the sex tape. They actually literally go out and specifically make a sex tape when their has-beens, out of money, need to get hip again. There's nothing like a sex tape if you want to re-energize your career. And this is something I'm going to keep in mind. Like right now, I don't think I need a sex tape because I'm really just not there yet. But at some point in the future, you never know when La Loca is going to make a sex tape. Now, I'm going to have to use those black bars throughout my entire sex tape because, you know what? There's certain parts I just do not want shown, and I'm not talking about my privates. I'm talking about other parts, and you'll know what they are when I release my sex tape. And when I release my sex tape, I'm going to have a very big party, a very big parade, because if by that time, if I can still release a sex tape, you kidding me? I deserve an Academy Award, okay? By then, you know, you'll know I'm getting an Academy Award, because by the time I release a sex tape, they'll actually be part of the Oscars. There'll be credible movies that are part of the Academy Awards. Okay, but did you know that Rob Lowe was the first guy that had a commercially distributed celebrity sex tape? He did it with a 22-year-old when he was 16. And at that time, that was probably back in the 80s, I don't think it's something that he did by design. I actually think that that was something that was scandalously done behind his back. And I can tell you that as sex tapes go, that might be one I'm willing to watch. But one that I really don't give a crap about watching, and I hate to bring her up again, but Kim Kardashian, for a couple of reasons. First of all, I could care less. Secondly, even if she had the perfect body in that sex tape, I'm only going to start picturing her with the Mack truck ass that she's got right now. So I don't think I could look at that sex tape, like, just, you know, without any preconceived notions about her ass or even about herself. Do you know that when this girl started her career, actually it was her mother who pretty much launched the career of all those girls. And she literally walked into her attorney's office and said, you know, I want to make my girls famous, and so I need your help in making my girls famous. And she was on a mission to make the Kardashian girls famous, and she obviously was so incredibly successful. But what I heard, here's the cheese man, what I heard is that at that time, before any of them were famous, apparently this woman spent the entire family fortune. You know, her father was a very famous attorney, and he was actually on the O.J. Simpson case, talk about cheese man. And the woman had lost all her money. So she literally, her house was in foreclosure, and somebody said to her, we need a sex tape. So, you know, this may or may not be 100% true, because I'm not the National Enquirer and I don't have a team of attorneys and, you know, DNA experts to go and check on, you know, my sources. But this is definitely a story I heard. And either way, let's pretend the story is completely untrue. The stupid sex tape was out there, is out there, and it's ridiculous. And you know what? I have no interest in the sex tape. After I finish this conversation, I'm never going to bring up the Kim Kardashian sex tape again. What about Paris Hilton? She filmed a sex tape, and she literally gave it a name, A Night in Paris. Now, as sex tapes go, think about it. Paris Hilton, 19 years old, A Night in Paris. Sounds like a blockbuster to me. And listen, if you cannot get a mainstream job, you go out and do your own projects. And in the case of Paris Hilton, her talent lies in sex tapes. Now, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee Jones did a honeymoon sex tape. That was their personal private tape. Somebody stole it from their home and broadcast it all over the place. Now, here's what I say to that. Okay, you know what? It's your honeymoon. You want to go all out and go crazy, and you feel compelled to put your damn ass on film. Fine. But if you're a public figure and you start bragging about your sex tape to people who come and visit your house, all you're doing is provoking somebody to steal that crap and put it everywhere and get money for it. So my advice, if you're Pamela Anderson or anybody of the like, don't do a sex tape for your honeymoon. Or the alternative is don't brag about your sex tape from your honeymoon. Don't show your sex tape from your honeymoon to visitors that come to your house. In fact, don't even marry guys like Tommy Lee, because you know it's going to be a disaster, regardless of the sex tape. Be careful. Here's one. Dustin Diamond. Bet you don't even know who that is. He's a kid that was on Saved by the Bell. His career was in a slump, so he directed and released a sex tape named, get this, Saved by the Smell. Now, if that doesn't conjure up gross to you, I don't know what could, but it was intended to jumpstart his career. Well, clearly, Dustin, it didn't work, honey. You need to go back under the rock from which you came. Gross, gross, gross. All right, here's another one. Vern Troyer. He's the guy who played Mini-Me in Austin Powers. Okay, advice to the wise. If your nickname is Mini-Me, what business do you have making a sex tape? You should be doing everything but a sex tape. You should be doing on how to plant carrots in your yard tape. You should be doing how to file your nails tape, how to wash lettuce tape. But don't do a sex tape, Mini-Me, because everybody's going to see your Mini-You and start laughing. Okay. That is literally, that is like a whole fetish. That's a whole thing I don't even want to talk about on Jackie's Vida Loca, because I'm loca, but not loca enough to like a Mini-Me sex tape. All right, another one who will absolutely not shock you is Kendra Wilson. she did a sex tape at the time she was 18, and apparently this sex tape must have served as her interview tape for Girls Next Door because it was the launch of a stellar career. Kendra Wilson is still in the mainstream somehow or other. There's no reality show Kendra Wilson will not participate in. If you want to make a reality show of people, you know, going into a mud pit with crocodiles naked, Kendra Wilson will be there, and she'll drag her husband, or I don't even know if it's her ex-husband. She'll drag her kid in there. Here's a sellout if there ever was one. Okay, here's a sex tape I don't ever need to see. Chelsea Handler. Now, this sex tape is actually said to be a joke, but I can't take Chelsea Handler seriously on a sex tape. I just can't do it. Like, she's too much of a freak for me to accept her doing a sex tape. I just can't even go there. But somebody that I can go there with is Colin Farrell. Now, apparently, Colin Farrell did a sex tape with Playboy bunny Nicole Narain. Farrell sued Narain over release of the tape. Seriously, Colin? So you go and make a sex tape with a Playboy bunny, and you expect that bitch not to want to tell anybody. Can you blame her for wanting to release the sex tape? Come on. Now, that's a sex tape worth paying for. But one that is literally at the top of my gross list is Gene Simmons. Now, idiot Gene Simmons goes out and creates a sex tape. He's apparently doing the sex tape, cheating on his wife, not his baby mama, all right? Now, if I was Gene Simmons' wife, I would be so grateful for that sex tape because I would think, great, now I have evidence. I can divorce this sucker and take every penny he's got. Gene Simmons in a sex tape? Okay, I can understand the fascination with Gene Simmons' tongue, but I can't understand the fascination of wanting to do a sex tape with Gene Simmons. I say that's at the top of the gross list. Okay, so when we be back, I'm gonna share so much gossip with you. All right, stay with me.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zulli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
So now you know what those Mexican peppers did to my tongue. They literally numbed it out, and that's why I cannot speak properly throughout the entire show. Okay? Okay. So you may be asking yourself, why do women gossip more than men? Do men gossip too? Okay, so we know women definitely gossip. In fact, they over-index on the amount that they gossip in their daily life. So women definitely index more than guys. What do we gossip about? Of course, you already know this. We gossip about other women. That's the people who we like to gossip about and their appearance and who's dating who and how fat their ass has gotten and their family and your family and who's lazy, who's out of work, who's cheating. You know, you gossip about other women who are the kids' mothers of their schoolmates, you know. Women gossip about other women most of the time. It's very rare that you'll hear a woman gossiping so much about a guy unless it's like Tiger Woods or somebody like that. Now, we love gossiping about Tiger Woods when that ridiculous scandal broke out because he's just a louse, you know. Guys that are a louse will gossip about. But what do men gossip about? So did you know 55% of men's conversation is gossip? So all you guys out there making fun of us, like, oh, you know, you're so catty and you're always talking about your workmates and you're always bitching about this one or that one and criticizing. You know what? You guys are practically as guilty as we are. You guys gossip about other stuff, but you still gossip. You gossip about belly fat. Like if a guy gets a big fat belly, you know your ass is going to be talking about them. The other thing you guys gossip about, and don't lie, you know you do it. you gossip about other guys losing all their damn hair. Who's lost the most hair? Who doesn't have any hair? Who has a comb over? Who shaved their head because they're going bald? How old is that guy who's losing his hair? Is he older than me or is he younger than me? You know you gossip about baldness every day of your life. The other thing you guys gossip about are girlfriends and wives, but more girlfriends, because by the time you get to the wife stage, you're like so freaking tired and exhausted, and you got so much gossip that's already going on in your house from your wife that you just want to shoot yourself. But when you're still in the dating scene, you're talking about all the girls you're dating with every guy you know, even guys you don't know. You're like 8-year-olds. You're like 8-year-olds in third grade when it comes to talking about women, and it's a very big part of your, you know, talking, gossiping with other guys. Here's another thing you guys gossip about: social status and the achievements and salaries of other guys. Oh, yeah, so-and-so started a business. He's making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. Or so-and-so started a business and he lost everything. He lost his shirt. And you kind of gloat and are excited about that. You know you talk about that because it's an ego boost. It's an ego boost for you guys. And the other thing you gossip about is yourself. You gossip about yourselves. You talk about yourselves more than anything else. I'm not saying I don't like guys. I'm just saying you guys gossip, okay? And if you're a gay guy, oh, mi amorcito, forget it. If you're a gay guy, you're gossiping like a girl to the guys. Now, you know what? I want to sit in that room. I think gossiping with gay guys is more fun than anything else in the world, because those guys, if you talk about catty and bitchy, there ain't nobody that can be more catty and more bitchy than a gay guy. And if you talk about the most fun in gossiping, gay guys are at the top of my list. And let me tell you, it's good to gossip. It's good to gossip for the fact that you can socialize with others. You can actually filter to see, you know, what you really want to say to somebody, but you say it in a certain way. It teaches us lessons. Like, we should definitely not do what we're judging someone else on. So that's why gossiping is good. And here's another one: building a bond with your friends. Gossiping and talking about somebody builds a bond with your friends. But you know what? Gossiping is good for those reasons, but there's many, many more reasons why it's bad to gossip, right? Gossip. You gossip so much that you can actually start hating someone for no reason, and you get consumed in that. It's negative. It's toxic. And it isn't gossip if you're talking trash. So, you know, innocent gossip, oh, Kim Kardashian's ass is big. She knows her ass is big. She can see her ass. She's freaking out about her ass right now. And she knows everybody's talking about it. You know what? In a way, that is harmful to her, but I think she sees it coming. She's in the public eye, and she probably deserves it because she puts herself out there so much. But to start spreading bad junk about other people, that's in a very negative vein. So I would say you're talking trash, and it's not good. And you could be spreading untrue rumors about people. You know, there's a point where when a rumor circulates so much, people just simply believe because they read it somewhere. You know, how many times have you Googled something, discovered some juicy piece of information, and were hook, line, and sinker in? You wanted to believe it. You believed it. It could be completely untrue. And, you know, this whole thing about Tom Cruise being gay has been circulating around so long. Who knows if maybe that's truly not true? I don't say it's not, and I don't say it is, because I have no idea. But you know what? It's spread around for so long. Same with John Travolta. These guys have had these rumors spreading around for so long. You never know. I mean, I said before, where there's smoke, there's fire. But here I am possibly believing that. All right, it can get you in trouble in the workplace. So if there's one place, and listen, you comadres, you female Latinas out there who are the biggest gossips in the workplace, if you gossip in the workplace, it could lose you your damn job. You need to be careful with that. You got to save that stuff for when you get home to dump it all on your husbands and lovers. Because talking about people inside the workplace, or even with a work associate out of work, like you're having drinks with them, you're both loaded, and all of a sudden you start talking about Sarah the slut, who's the assistant. Bad move, because Sarah the slut, who's the assistant, is probably 6 degrees of separation from the lady you're talking to, and it could get you in trouble when that lady, that bitch, turns on you. And now we're talking your job's on the line. So be smarter than that, people. Just be smarter. Don't gossip in the workplace. You know, coincidentally, if you gossip with your friends, you can lose friends as well, because I'll tell you the truth. Any friend of mine, family member, whatever, that's constantly coming to me with bull crap about my friends, my other friends, my relatives, etc. You know what? I kind of write those people off. And I'm petrified to say anything to them, because I know the minute they turn around, they're going to be yakety-yakety-yakking to somebody else. So while I'm having the time of my life talking about gossip on this show, and we know we all do it to some degree, I frankly think that people who gossip all the time and revolve their lives around gossiping about other people are just toxic individuals who are negative and just want to, you know, focus on other people's problems rather than dealing with their own. But it can ruin other people's lives. So this is what I'm saying. Enjoy reading a story or two in the Inquirer. Look, I love reading People magazine. And I can't deny that, you know, if there's an interesting story about somebody that I'm interested in, I'm not going to be like, wow, we're talking about it. But at the same time, you know, you can definitely take it to a level that is not healthy. Like, for example, if you gossip to your manicurist, no problem. You gossip to your dentist while they're drilling your teeth or whatever, no problem. You gossip to your accountant, no problem. You gossip to the priest. Isn't confession practically gossip? You know, the truth is, if you gossip to these people, it's no problem, and I hope you were making that list. But if you're gossiping all the time to your friends, or like I said, coworkers, you're going to look for trouble, and you are going to find it. I'll tell you who's always in trouble. And he likes trouble. He's a fellow Latino, Paris Hilton. He's the Internet's most notorious gossip columnist. He's a Cuban. I didn't know that. He's a Cuban from Miami. Who knows? I probably was like doing happy hour in the same place as he was, and now we're both in L.A., and one day he's going to be gossiping about my ass. And I don't know. Does it pay to make friends with people like that, praying to God they'll never gossip about you? I don't know. I think it doesn't really matter. If there's a story, there's a story. But he currently lives in Hollywood, and he has a mini golden doodle. He's gay, not the dog, but Paris. I think he's out of the closet. If not, I just flung that closet door open. No, I think Paris Hilton definitely is out of the closet. Anyway, the golden doodle's name is Teddy Hilton. Forbes named him the number one web celeb for 2007, 2008, 2009. He's slipping. People in Espanol named him one of the 15 most influential U.S. Hispanics. And in 2009, he was named Hispanic of the Year by Hispanic Magazine. Now, did you think that you could have all those accolades and achievements just by being a celebrity gossiper? There's, you know, in Hollywood, there were a couple of ladies that literally hated each other's guts back in the, like, 30s. One was Hedda Hopper. She was basically America's best-known gossip columnist. 1938, she was originally an actress, and I can see why she went into gossip writing because, honey, she didn't have the face of an actress. She had some hell of a mug. She could have probably played the Wicked Witch of the West, which she actually did play the Wicked Witch of the West in her column. She actually broke the story on Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy's affair. Ooh, like in today's world, that would be considered like, yes, so what's your point? But another thing she did that was kind of like bitchy, very, very bitchy, and this woman was like constantly whispering in people's ears, like people were terrified of her, because she named names of suspected communists during Hollywood's blacklist. And I think that's pathetic. I mean, so many people were like literally blacklisted in Hollywood for absolutely no reason whatsoever, saying that they were communists, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Hedda Hopper, her arch enemy number one was Luella Parson. She's the first American movie columnist. She was most popular until Hedda Hopper came around, who stabbed and killed her. Okay, that's a joke. But basically, there was a huge, huge rivalry between these two bitches, and they literally hated each other, and they were constantly trying to come out with the best scoop. But one thing these ladies actually had was a filter. Like, there were so many stories back in the day of people being, you know, being gay but getting married anyway, or, you know, they'd cover anything up, and the gossip columnists would play a role in that major cover-up. But the truth of the matter is, like, today there's no way anything could be covered up, thanks to the Internet or, you know, the news media that now is pretty much, you know, a free-for-all. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, we in our society – And I'm going to close the show with this. We in our society have the need to connect with people. And I think that this sort of, let's not call it gossip, but this kind of communication is something that feeds into that. And we also, as human beings, feel the need or are attracted like moths to a flame to content that is outrageous. And so when the content is outrageously about human beings, it happens to pique our interest like nothing else. So if you're a gossip, if you like gossip, if you love celebrities, if you have a love-hate relationship with pop culture, then gossip, gossip, gossip. All right, that's it for Jackie's Vida Loca today. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I want to thank my loyal listeners who tune in every week, whether you're tuning in live or have downloaded the show after the fact. We really, really appreciate your support. And this Loca is going to go and have another crazy week. And I will be back again next Thursday to connect with you and share some more juicy, juicy Jackie's Vida Loca.
Adios, everybody. Join me again next Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, for the craziest Latino comedy on Jackie's Vida Loca.